Who will be crowned the 2018 World Champions? And more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. If you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you haven't already, check to be sure, click that follow button so that you can be notified when we go live. And if you're listening via the podcast, welcome. Glad you're listening and tuning in. If you enjoy what you hear, be sure to tap that subscribe button so that you can also be notified when you go live. And leave a review if you so choose to. That'd be greatly appreciated. But do keep in mind that if you're listening via the podcast, you're about a day behind. And you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I think it also comes with video. So if y'all are wondering, hey, what are those cool videos or pictures that you have going on? Well, there's video that encompasses this whole entire show that you're listening to right now. Also, if you're watching the rebroadcast of the show over at Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, we're currently not monitoring chat or it's disabled, feel free to grab a snack and enjoy the show. Finally, we are on Discord where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Visit technewsgadget.net/Discord to get your free invite today. And my ever trusty, faithful producer, I'm going to be careful on that second word that I use to describe you because you've been messing up lately. He's my pet octopus. He's currently hanging out in the background with a pair of earphones on, pretending like he's doing something. He wanted me to let you guys know that there is a giveaway going on. Yes, technewsgadget.net/giveaway. We are giving away 13,500 V-Bucks and an annual subscription to our Insiders membership program here at Tech News Gadget. Although, rumor has it that you may actually be getting 2 Insider memberships, one for you and one for a friend to use. So if you're interested, technewsgadget.net/giveaway. It ends at the end of this month. The winner will be bestowed all the goodies that it contains. Plus Octavius will be happy because he'll have something to do then, right? Sounds like a plan, noob. You will enter. It's enter as much and as often as you want. We have new things added every single day, so you'll want to be able to check in for that. We also have the daily bonus points where if you check in every single day and you click that button, you'll get entered more points, more chances to win, more chances you walk away with V-Bucks and a pretty nifty Insiders membership and swag something. He keeps messing around with the script and saying fart knife. Okay, so Octavius seems to have ruined my spell checker. Apparently, anytime I've typed in Fortnite on the computer, it has this little red underneath it, like the word spelled wrong. So when I try to use a suggestion or it auto-changes it, it always goes to fart knife. I don't know why. Apparently, he thinks it's a joke. He's trying to be a comedian. Not working, dude. You don't. Nah, it's not funny. Like the Jay Leno of jokes. You should, you really gotta up your joke level there, Octavius. So, with that being covered, let's get into today's tech news. But before we do, we always have to take a look back on today in tech history. Today is November 2nd, 2018. On this day in history, in 1815, George Boole was born in Lincolnshire, England, and he became a mathematician who laid down the foundations for Boolean logic, XOR Boolean algebra, essentially Boolean, right? Search engine power users everywhere. Be sure to thank him for this. Also on this day in 1920, KDKA in Pittsburgh started broadcasting as the first commercial radio station in the U.S. What was their first broadcast? The election results. Actual results, not projections. Also on this day in 1936, BBC television service went on air with the world's first regular high-definition service. I don't really know what it was with the whole high definition where you're like standing on a chair and you're like, Confucius say, man who stand on toilet is high on pot. I don't know. It still remains to be seen. The elevation there in England is probably a little bit higher, so it's easier for them to see what's going on. Back then, high definition apparently meant 200 lines, not 1,080. the channel became BBC One in 1964. Also on this day, in 1988, the Morris worm began replicating across 6,000 computers, causing slow systems and proving difficult to eradicate. Bleh, I can't read. 24-year-old Robert Tappan Morris Jr. at MIT had created the worm in order to see how many computers were hooked up to the internet. And, well, it might have clogged roughly 10% of the internet at that time. Let's see, it caused significant downtime for government and university systems for 2 days. Morris was dismissed from Cornell. I was supposed to put in a joke from The Office there with Andy Bernard saying, "I can't too sit here and cry about it." He was sentenced to apparently 3 years probation and a $10,000 fine, but I can't too sit here and cry about it because that was a little drop in the bucket for... He goes down in history being the guy who created the Morris worm. So there you go. Finally, on this day in 2015, Hewlett-Packard split up into two companies. Did you know that? HPE handled enterprise services and traded under the stock ticker HPE. I'm guessing it stood for Hewlett-Packard Enterprises. And HP Inc. kept the PC and printer business and the stock ticker HP. If you didn't know that about Hewlett-Packard, well, now you do. Oh, I gave it away. I wasn't supposed to tell you what HP meant. Dang it. Well, there you go. Now you know. So, with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's tech news. First up, on the docket, apparently somebody posted private Facebook messages from 81,000 accounts. This article comes to us today from Wired.com. By the way, the show notes for everything that we discuss here can be found over at TechNewsGadget.net. You can just tap on the article you want, it'll open it right up, and you can read it and see the pictures and watch the video and whatever else there is with it. You can even comment on it, you can even print it out and give it to your cat or your dog and have them chew it up and blame it on the homework bug problem thing. But it's true. Apparently Facebook has been experiencing a number of security-related issues lately, including a breach disclosed in September that we also covered that compromised at least 30 million accounts. But that incident doesn't explain why tens of thousands of private Facebook messages reportedly ended up for sale on an internet forum the same month, according to the BBC Russian service. Now, the culprit likely responsible for the leak, Facebook says, is a pest outside of the social network's direct control, that being malicious browser extensions. Specifically, Google, which has over 60% of the browser market share, has said that the number of malicious Chrome extension downloads has decreased significantly over the past several years, but this breach proves malware-packed browser tools remain an issue. So kind of be careful with that, guys. Apparently, in September, the BBC reports an user named FB Sailor appeared on an English-language internet forum offering to sell personal information belonging to 120 million Facebook accounts for 10 cents each. The BBC didn't specify in which forum the seller posted their offer, but the web is littered with marketplaces where criminals sell stolen personal information, such as credit card numbers. Hang on just a second. Something like that. There you go, noob. I'll finish reading up this article. Otherwise, you can always just go to here. Well, never mind. Apparently that code doesn't... Octavius, the code doesn't work. The code doesn't work. TechNewsGadget.net/giveaway. All one word. Apparently, FB Sailor posted a sample of their data on a separate webpage, and the BBC had it examined by a cybersecurity firm, Digital Shadows. The company found that more than 81,000 of the stolen accounts included private messages. The BBC reached out to 5 Russian users whose data was included, and they verified the messages' legitimacy. So, oh boy. What does that mean? Who's affected? Many of the users whose information was stolen are based in Ukraine and Russia, although some are from the US, UK, Brazil, and other countries, according to the BBC. The hacker selling the data claimed to have information belonging to 120 million Facebook accounts, or roughly 6% of the more than 2 billion people who use Facebook each month. It might be bluffing, but we'll see. The BBC says that FB Sailor's advertisement for the stolen data has since disappeared. So, how serious is this? Well, the good news is that it doesn't appear Facebook's platform was compromised in any way. In order to have been affected by this issue, you would have needed to download a malicious browser extension from a place like the Google Chrome Store, Firefox add-ons, or Safari's extension gallery. Not good that Facebook failed to notice that an extension was sucking up user data, but if you're diligent about downloading plugins from trustworthy developers, you shouldn't be too worried. So, all that to keep in mind that users should check the browser extensions they've installed and delete any they don't fully trust. This incident is a good reminder that free extensions, like, say, shopping tools or bookmarking shortcuts, may be tempting, but they can sometimes come with malware included behind the scenes. Obviously, they won't tell you about that. It's also never a bad idea to check you're not downloading a copycat. Apparently, last year, Google caught three malicious extensions masquerading as Adblock Plus, one of which had been downloaded tens of thousands of times before it was removed. So, be careful. Don't want to get caught with a virus or a bug or malicious software that then goes and takes your Facebook private information and sells it on the internet at 10 cents a user. Oh boy. Also in the news today, Apple apparently has a problem that it doesn't want to talk about. And for those of you who don't know, apparently the era of rapid iPhone growth ended years ago. And for those of you listening or watching right now, you're probably like, well, yeah, like basically everybody I know has an iPhone. Who doesn't? This isn't like a big old craze right now. Currently, the biggest craze going on is Fart Knife. Stop it, Octavius. Keep putting it in the script. Fortnite. Okay. I'm just dumb enough to read it too, apparently. He's laughing at me. Apparently, Apple now is making a change to ensure that it doesn't have to talk much about that problem. On a conference call today, top Apple executives laid out their plans to stop disclosing the number of iPhones, iPads, and Macs it sells each quarter. It's a move that shocked analysts and only added to jitters around a mixed earnings report. See, apparently it was jaw-dropping, particularly because Apple is at a crucial juncture. Apple is trying to make up for slow sales units by charging more for its lineup of services. And sure enough, in the three-month period ending in September, Apple sold just shy of 47 million iPhones, representing 0% growth in the number of smartphones sold from the prior year. Now, who knows, in future quarters, the number of iPhones Apple sells could decline, but we probably won't know about it. Apparently, Apple's Mac and iPad unit sales fell by 2 and 6%, respectively, during the quarter compared to a year ago. Yet Apple's overall revenue continues to climb from one year to the next. That's in large part because the company is hiking prices across the board. Apple made $8 billion more dollars selling iPhones than it did a year earlier, when it sold almost the exact same number of iPhones. Apple now has not one, but two smartphones on the market, the XS and XS Max, with price tags that can exceed $1,000. Apple also recently introduced more expensive iPad Pros and MacBook Airs, although I'm kind of partial towards the MacBook Airs, because it finally seems like they finally did something right in terms of a really nice price point strategy. You see, on a call with analyst, Apple CEO Tim Cook tried to explain a decision to do away with unit sales figures by way of a grocery store analogy. If you go to the market and you push your cart up to the cashier and she says, or he says, how many units you have in there, it doesn't really matter how many units are in there in terms of the overall value of what is in the cart. What matters now, in other words, isn't necessarily how many devices Apple sells from one quarter to the next, but how much it makes from the device sales. Now, it's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow for Wall Street. What does this mean to the consumer? I don't know. I mean, you buy the product because you figure it's going to work as advertised, and you trust the brand because they haven't let you down before. So it remains to be seen how brand loyalty is. Now, when it comes to Apple fans, fiercely loyal. They will buy anything and everything that comes out. So maybe there's not much of a problem there. However, newcomers to this Apple industry ecosystem thing across the world may vary. It may be easier to pick them up and drop them, or it may be harder to pick them up and keep them. I don't know, customer acquisition strategy, you get to the whole complex issues of business and economics and finances and marketing and sales and numbers and, well, okay, I'll make it simple for you as a consumer. If you enjoy the product, buy it. If you don't, don't. Companies will figure out what works and doesn't work, figure it out accordingly. So there you go. There's your answer to this big pressing question. All right, all you gamers currently either A, at BlizzCon, or B, watching BlizzCon, you probably already know, but if you don't and you're on the outside going, what the heck happened at BlizzCon? Well, apparently a new game was announced. Diablo Immortal, a new RPG, was announced for mobile at this opening ceremony of BlizzCon 2018. Now, keep in mind that Diablo was, for much of its life, a PC-only franchise. Now, with Diablo 3 having expanded to consoles, including, as of today, Nintendo Switch, Blizzard has set its eyes on what might be its most difficult adaptation of the action RPG yet. Mobile. Particularly smartphones. Who would want to play it on a Motorola Razr flip phone? I don't know. Not me. But it might be interesting. We can see. During the BlizzCon 2018 opening ceremony, Blizzard revealed that it is developing a brand new Diablo game to mobile platforms. Blizzard said it wants to do it in a way that's true to Blizzard, putting gameplay first in a way that feels right for Diablo. Let's see, it's described as a full-fledged action RPG that you can play everywhere with everyone. It's being developed in collaboration with NetEase. The Chinese company has previously helped to bring a number of Blizzard games to China. So, apparently, a short rundown, Diablo Immortal tells the story between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, filling in details on what unfolded with Tyrell, Mathael, and others. A cinematic was shown featuring voiceover from Tyrell talking about the events following the destruction of the World Stone. He spoke about his corruption spreading, leading to a CG sequence where a barbarian attacks enemies in various settings. Just as he's about to be killed, he's saved by another of Diablo 3's classes, the Wizard. After they wipe out the enemy forces, they're joined by several other characters, meaning the remaining Diablo 3 classes, as Diablo emerges from a huge cloud of smoke. Next, we are shown some brief gameplay clips, but seemingly catered to a mobile interface, it does appear to have the same style of gameplay we're accustomed to from the franchise. New abilities will be available for the 6 classes, along with new zones, stories, and dungeons. It also features online multiplayer, with numerous characters being shown on the screen at once. At one count was 6, which is more than Diablo 3 currently allows for. There's also a video that goes along with it. You guys want to see the video? Sure you do, why not? And there you are, some of the highlights of Diablo Immortal. And what the heck is going on here with this? Better not be loading anything. Alright, I've had it with technology. Octavius, why don't you, can you punch that real quick? Also, happening in the gadget world today, apparently the world's largest neuromorphic supercomputer is switched on. And you're sitting there going, what, neuromorphic? What the heck is this? Can you guys speak English? Well, we got a picture here showing a huge rack of servers. Looks awesome, by the way. Oh, man. Server room's awesome. Built by the University of Manchester's School of Computer Science, it took 12 years and $19.5 million to complete this project, which had its 1 millionth processor core fitted last week. Spinnaker is what it's called. Is capable of performing 200 million actions per second, with each chip containing 100 million moving parts. The machine can model more biological neurons in real time than any other computer in the world. Now, this is where it gets interesting. These neurons are basic brain cells present in a nervous system that communicate primarily by emitting spikes of pure electrochemical energy. Spinnaker works by sending billions of small amounts of information simultaneously to thousands of different destinations, thereby mimicking the parallel communication architecture of the brain. This makes it different from traditional computers, which send large amounts of data from one point to another via a standard network. Spinnaker completely rethinks the way conventional computers work. We're essentially creating a machine that works more like a brain than a traditional computer, which is extremely exciting and cool, according to Steve Ferber, professor of computer engineering. Now, obviously, the ultimate objective for this project has always been 1 million cores in a single computer for real-time brain modeling applications. We have now achieved it, which is fantastic. Spinnaker brings the creator's ultimate aim of building a model of a billion biological neurons in real time a step closer. The neuromorphic supercomputer will run large-scale, real-time simulations of different regions of the brain, including the basal ganglia, which is an area affected by Parkinson's disease. It is hoped that this research will lead to neurological breakthroughs in areas such as pharmaceutical testing. Now, the Spinnaker has also been used to power a robot called the Spomnibot, which can navigate the real world by identifying objects and moving forward or ignoring them. Neuroscientists can now use Spinnaker to help unlock some of the secrets of how the human brain works by running unprecedentedly large-scale simulations. This is pretty cool. It also works as a real-time neural simulator that allows roboticists to design large-scale neural networks into mobile robots so they can walk, talk, and move with flexibility and low power. So there you go. Man, this is cool. Like, do you see this rack of servers? But this is a neuromorphic supercomputer. There's nothing like it on the planet. Could you imagine? Okay, so you remember seeing way back in the day, like, the world's largest supercomputer, and this was back in, like, the 50s. You see it, and you're like, wow, it takes up this big, huge room, and it, what did it do? Not really much of anything. Now we actually have a computer that's smart enough and powerful enough, infinitesimally more, in the palm of our hand. Smartphone. And it fits in the palm of your hand. All that huge supercomputer did can be outdone in, like, not even like a nanosnap with this. That's how fast technology has come. And it just keeps on progressing. And now we're at a neuromorphic supercomputer. Look at how big it is. It looks about smaller than the size of a supercomputer, but that holds. Man, it's incredible. That's awesome. Sorry, guys. I'm kind of geeking out about it. I love supercomputers. They're so cool. Finally, the news everybody was waiting for. And if you're not waiting for it, it's mainly because I'm waiting for it. Because I love... Okay. I love League of Legends World Championship. I have never seen a show or a live... Okay, it's a live stream show. But it's something that can be done... Either you can be there in person, or you can watch it live on Twitch or YouTube or elsewhere, I think. Probably Azubu, depending on live streaming services. But it makes you all feel as you're part of this big collective whole watching what's unfolding on the stage, which is the opening ceremonies, which have always been incredible by League of Legends and Riot Games. Well, run by Riot Games. And I don't know. I enjoy the World Championship. All of October has been leading up to this final day tomorrow. Basically, when this podcast comes out, two teams will be duking it out for the top, the highest honor, who will hoist the Summoner's Cup and the millions of dollars that go along with it. Not to mention the bragging rights and everything that comes with, you know, saying, oh, we're the top League of Legends world sports team in the world. All we do is play video games for 16 hours a day. It's huge. Like, this is, back when I first started getting into the whole Twitch and the live streaming thing, and why are people doing competitive gaming, and why do we have online multiplayer, and why do we have professional gamers and esports, this is ultimately what led up into it. I used to be a fan of League of Legends for a long time, still am, I haven't played it as recent as I should have, but I've played it a lot, very familiar with it, but once I watched the World Championship years ago, I went, wow. Whoever thought of this as the way they did is incredible. And sorry about the rambling. I'm just really excited. Every year I look forward to it. I block out the whole day of time, and all I do is I watch the opening ceremonies, all the games, everything that goes along with it. It's basically my Super Bowl, for those of you who understand football and everything. Granted, I do watch the Super Bowl as well, but not with as much gusto as I watch the League of Legends World Championship. It's unparalleled. Nothing like it. Speaking of which, Worlds 2018 is finally upon us. It has come down between two teams, Fnatic and Invictus Gaming. One representing the EU bracket, one representing the China bracket, LPL. Who will duke it out? Who will win? I don't know. Many people are saying it's a toss-up. Last time Fnatic was in this situation, 7 years ago. The last time China was in this situation, 7 years ago. And unfortunately, they lost and Fnatic won. So, it seems almost like a rematch, kind of sorts. So, let's break it down. Worlds 2018 Finals Guide. It all comes down to this. Here's everything you need to know about the Worlds 2018 Finals. The 24 best teams in the Worlds have been narrowed down to two. On November 3rd at 8:30 a.m. CET, which is Central European time or something, Fnatic and Invictus Gaming will fight for the Summoner's Cup at Moonhak Stadium in Incheon, South Korea. League of Legends World Championship Finals is a pinnacle of competitive play across 14 regional leagues. Winning Worlds is the greatest achievement in League of Legends, and the victors can indisputably call themselves the best in the world. Or at least until they get kicked out next year. But keep in mind, for those of you who are like, oh, League of Legends, esports, World Championship, who cares? I have my own interests. Right, and to each their own. Apparently right now, also at BlizzCon, they unleashed, they have a whole slew of World Championship events happening for World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch, a whole menagerie that's going on at BlizzCon. It's nuts. So, you're more interested in that, you know, there's definitely some exciting things, there's going on there. Fortunately, the U.S. could make it into bracket for one of the teams, but it's okay, it's the World Championship for Overwatch. So, obviously all that's going down, but I'm going to be sitting and watching League of Legends World Championship. The finals will be streamed live at watch.lolesports.com. You can also catch a rebroadcast or spoiler-free VOD at watch.lolesports.com/VODs the next day. So, what's the format? As with quarterfinals and semifinals, finals will be played in a best-of-five format. None of this best-of-seven, best-of-ten, World Series like basketball or baseball or I don't know however they do it. Just do best of five and be done with it. Why do we have to do games that last forever? The first team to win three matches for League of Legends will be crowned the 2018 World Champions. The two competing teams are Fnatic, and here's their picture, and Invictus Gaming, and there's their picture. How did these teams make it to finals? Well, reaching finals required staying alive through four waves of competition over the past month in the best of five format. The play-in stage, group stage, quarterfinals, and semifinals. Fnatic and Invictus Gaming have transcended their regional leagues, defeated the best of the best from around the world, and have taken their place at the precipice of victory. Need a little more context? Well, here's how it went to quarterfinals. KT Rollster got bounced by Invictus Gaming 3-2. Royal Never Get Up. Wow. Royal Never Give Up was beaten by G2 Esports 3-2. Cloud9 and a Freak of Freaks. With Cloud9 taking the victory 3-0 there, and Fnatic took on Edward Gaming at a 3-1. And then when it moved to the semifinals, Invictus Gaming won against G2 Esports 3-0, and Fnatic went up against Cloud9 for another 3-0 victory. So, schedule. 8:30 a.m. CET opening ceremony. They'll be kicking off the show with the finals opening ceremony presented by MasterCard, set to be their biggest yet, and there are some huge surprises in store. The ceremony will conclude include a performance of the 2018 World's Anthem Rise featuring Glitch Mob, Mako, The Word Alive, and Bobby of Icon. So, for those of you wondering, this entire month I've been playing up until this point, and the musicals change afterwards, I've been playing either Rise or the 2018 World's Championship music from League of Legends. So, you're wondering, that's the song that I've been playing. Apparently, there will also be a special performance debut of a new Riot-produced song featuring Madison Beer, Mayan, and Soyeon of G.I. Idol or whatever in Jirai Burn. Whatever that means. The games will be starting immediately after the opening ceremony at 9 a.m. CET. And then they'll have the closing ceremony after the matches end, where the winning team will hoist the Summoner's Cup and receive their accolades on stage. They'll also be handing out the World's 2018 Finals MVP trophy. So mark your calendar and join us. Actually, it's going to be happening in a matter of, well, okay, at the time of this recording, probably within 6-ish hours, and by the time this podcast is first released, it'll probably be out in 3 or 2, something like that. So, final article for today. Apparently, there's rumors going around. 5 reasons why Invictus Gaming will upset Fnatic in the World's 2018 Final. Apparently Invictus Gaming are going into it as the underdogs. Should they be? kind of interesting. I'll give you my taste on it, but let's read this article a little bit, shall we? For the first time since Season 1, a Korean team will not be in the final at the League of Legends World Championship. That year, Fnatic won the title, and they're the favorites again tonight. But there are a few Koreans playing in the final. They'll be on the side of China's representative, Invictus Gaming, and even though they're going into the last battle tonight as underdogs, they might just be good enough to pull out one more series and keep alive the legend of Korean talent. So, what chance do IG have at winning it all tonight and redeeming Asia? Here are five reasons they'll take home the Summer's Cup. The first one is Song rookie Yujin. Apparently any discussion of IG's chances to win has to start and end with rookie. He's the best player in the world, the mid laner for IG, and IG's best shot at winning it all tonight. Rookie was the first player that IG focused on years ago when they started building a championship-worthy roster. His path has been long and difficult, which makes his journey to this moment all that sweeter. Back on Korean soil, Rookie is playing like an absolute monster. He destroyed Fnatic mid laner Rasmus Cap Winther, one of the best mids in the world, in their group stage games. Caps was so tilted that he almost threw Fnatic's quarterfinals deliberately versus EDG before roaring back last week and beating out Cloud9. Fnatic will no doubt devote multiple people at the mid lane to try and shut Rookie down. Rookie has to survive that pressure and extend his influence all over the map. If he pulls it off and wins Worlds, he'll invoke the name of another Korean giant, Lee Faker Sang-Yi-Hawk. Yeah, might just have Faker coming back for a rematch. So Rookie basically needs to play like Faker. Well, no big deal there. Second, flexibility. See, Rookie's map pressure enables a playstyle that IG have honed on throughout the year, their 1-3-1 split push. That's what made their series versus G2 so interesting. It was basically a match of teams who wanted to do the same thing. IG just did it better. But when it doesn't work, IG can fall back into other styles as well. In the quarterfinals, they beat KT through a combination of splitting and teamfighting. They even made KT abandon Aatrox, one of the best solo laners, to focus on 5v5 team comps. In the third game against G2, it was their own Aatrox that brought the pain in the key objective fight around Dragon. At their best, Fnatic can counter multiple styles as well, but IG will test them in many phases of the game, from splitting to skirmishing to teamfighting, and if IG can expose any weakness, they'll be quick to pounce on it. Third off, fast-paced. Throughout most of the tournament, G2 Esports had been one of the slowest teams getting to snowball into victory. Even in the play-in, their level of play should have been far superior to the teams they played, and they moved like glaciers. IG looked at their slow, macro-heavy style and lit it on fire. Each game ended in less than 30 minutes as IG raced ahead and snowballed relentlessly. Fnatic are more apt to handle that kind of pace. But there is still a risk that if things move too fast, IG could snowball a single lane or player faster than Fnatic can handle. We saw the damage IG top laner Kang Le Shai Seong Luck could do pushing to the base on a champion like Fiora. Now there will be times in series where IG are cruising and Fnatic will be challenging to stabilize the map and get their wits about them. And fourth, Jackie Love, their baseline talent. If IG players do get ahead, that would enable one of their most talented but inconsistent players, bot laner Jackie Love. Just check out what he did against Fnatic in their first game at Worlds this year. Oh look, here's a clip. You guys want to see it? Here we go.
Jackie Love might kill everyone here. Duke is going to start it off with the front line. Jackie Love going to supercharge her in. Fnatic are just trying to get the Baron, but what is it going to cost them? Bowlath into the backside of the map. Someone's already dead in the front side. Is that zombie Sion? And that's two kills for Jackie Love. Going to keep stacking them up as Fnatic are trying to finish it up. But Ning, he gets the Baron. Jackie Love, he's grabbed the triple kill. It's going to be a penta. Jackie Love, oh my god, rookie. How dare you? How dare you steal the penta? Well, he got a quadra at least. They get the Baron as well. This game, back and forth, 24-7. Fnatic win a fight. They go Baron.
So that was a pretty bad, awful Baron call from Fnatic, and what should have been a pentakill for Jack Love was stolen by a scumbag mid laner rookie. Now, keep in mind, this isn't the actual game. This was a game played earlier in Worlds, when the teams were still in the sorting in and figuring out where they stand and in the process of eliminations. Jackie Love, their ADC, is one of the strongest mechanical players in the world. He's one of a few player that actually plays Kai'Sa well, and he's also smart enough to know when that matchup is bad and how to counter it. He had a big challenge against Reckless, who can play a non-interactive champion like Sivir and just sit in lane forever. His solution to Sivir in a G2 series apparently was Illusion, and he popped off in that game. If he can do the same to Fnatic, IG could win all three lanes and stomp the series. Finally, fifth reason, more Koreans equals victory. Well, we weren't kidding when we wrote about the series starts and ends with Rookie. Rookie, The Shy, and Lee, Duke, Hojung give IG a unique blend of solo lanes. Of all the teams at the tournament, only Fnatic brought a similar array of players at the top and mid lane positions. We have a feeling that the team that dominates those areas of the map will be the one that brings home the trophy. There's a lot that goes into solo lane dominance. IG's jungler and support have to continue playing at an extremely high level to match Fnatic's strength there. IG have to provide ward control to avoid getting caught out. They can't take bad fights like they did in their losses to Fnatic at the group stage. The mechanics of the support players need to be better. But if all goes well, IG solo laners are good enough to bring home the Summoner's Cup. It would be a strange irony if these three Korean players won the Summoner's Cup, hoisted it on Korean soil, but playing for a Chinese team. But this world has been filled with wild upsets and crazy stories. For crying out loud, for one, SK Telecom T1 was kicked out. They didn't do as well as I thought they would be. Here's the thing. They usually don't against their own teams in Korea. Apparently, it's really hard for them to dominate Korean teams and matchups and everything. They seem to crumble, seemingly at it. As well as last year's victors, who came back as, I believe, G2 Esports. Don't quote me on this. I could be wrong. But Samsung Galaxy, who won Summoner's Cup last year. There's an ad on the screen. Okay. Feeding your cat since 2016. Meow. Just ignore it. I gotta get random pop-ups on this screen. So, anyways, as I was saying, when it came to... Here, let's actually just switch to this screen then. So, last year's victors... actually went and didn't think they made it only to like quarterfinals or semis, and then they were knocked out. So their Samsung Galaxy, this new established team with a new name, can't even come back to try and avenge themselves. It's like they had a one-time off victory. Here's what I think. Based upon what I could see here, it seems like this is going to be a very even matchup. Here are my thoughts. And it's so interesting because for Fnatic and Invictus, their top laners are both experienced players who have played professionally for a number of years, and their backups are relatively younger, newer people to the scene who do just as much damage, if not more. So we might be dealing with more substitutions, seeing if we can substitute experience for rookie status or age or something to throw the top lane off kilter so that they can at least rest some sort of control one way or another. When it comes to the mid laner, apparently on IG, a lot of the team is built around Rookie, which may be to their benefit, maybe to their fault, defeat. It went well for Faker, really well, and then it kind of didn't because when they crumbled in on Faker and Faker crumbled, the rest of the team didn't know what else to do. So, something to keep in mind. That way, however, it seems like the unofficial captain and the shot caller for Fnatic is Reckless, and he's the bot lane ADC, and causes a lot of problems that go on, floats all over the map, and just picks up kills here and there, pushes objectives, wards incredibly well. It's going to be tough. It's going to be an interesting match. Here's my prediction, and I know I'm rambling on a little bit, and I should probably cancel it. Get around to some ending of the show. Here's what I think will happen. I'm rooting for Fnatic. I think that they're going to do very well, but it's going to be a very tough fought game. They might take it 3-2. They might not win it right off the bat. They might just have to claw their way back up to victory and get the victory time and time again until they actually win it. Best of five wins. Obviously, if there's a 3-0 sweep, it's a 3-0 sweep. These teams are evenly matched. This is such a wild upset this year. We have Fnatic coming back for the first time in 7 years, fighting for the chance to get Summoner's Cup. We have China coming back as well. We have no Korea team anywhere. It seems like they've just been pushed out. Is this going to be a repeat of 7 years ago when Fnatic hoisted the Summoner's Cup? I don't know. We'll see. But my money's on Fnatic. Obviously, they made it quite clearly known last weekend by single-handedly easy beating Cloud9, the North American team, 3-0. Gosh. What were they doing? I mean, like, it's like Fnatic just baited Cloud9 into those fights and then just walked away and went, oh, you guys forgot about the objective, huh? Okay, well, I don't know. So we'll see. A lot of mind games going on. I, for one, am excited. I, for one, will be tuning in and watching the 2018 World Championship games with League of Legends. Who are you voting for? Do you think Invictus Gaming, China's LPL bracket, top team, will take home the Summoner's Cup? Or will it be EU's top pick Fnatic? Let me know in the comments, and that will be that. With that being said, that will wrap up today's show. If we happen to miss something on the show or something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know in either the live chat or on our Discord server. Don't forget to redeem your code over at technewsgadget.net/insiders or head on over to technewsgadget.net/giveaway to enter that monthly giveaway. That will do it for this episode of the Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. For the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, be sure to head on over to Fart News Gadget. Octavia, stop. TechNewsGadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side. Oh, something's in my eye. Octavia!